So good evening, everyone. Boy, it's been a while since I've been called out by a teacher. Do you want to share that with the class? There's Tim. It's been a while. That happened to me quite a bit when I was in high school, by the way. I got called out a few times. But for a few years, it was me calling the kids out. So shoes on the other foot now. It's switched around. I thought Tim was going to call me Beans tonight. And so some of you are old enough to get this, and if you're under a certain age, I don't know what age, you won't get it at all. So my camp nickname was Beans. My last name is Libby. Okay, so a lot of you get that. If you don't, ask your mom and dad. Okay, they'll explain it to you or your grandparents. So it was in grade five. I had a teacher who was a bit of a guy that could push, like maybe like Tim in his class. I'm not sure what Tim's like as a teacher. And he had nicknames for every kid in the class in grade five. And he tagged me with Beans. And that stuck with me like all through elementary school, all through high school. I kind of fell away in university, which was good. But going to Galilee Bible Camp is like you have to have a nickname if you're a counselor. I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll be Beans. And that just stuck. And then it was Beans. And then it became Mr. Beans at Hope Valley Day Camp. And anyway, it just progressed from there. But that's what that's all about. Anyway, we're going to go this evening to, we're going to finish this series on hospitality, and I want you to go to Hebrews 13. We're going to read in Hebrews 13. We're going to read in 1 Peter 4. We're going to change the order, what I got out here on the screen. Then we're going to read in 1 John 3. And thank you so much for having Jackie and I last Sunday and this Sunday. And we've enjoyed it very much, and you have been very hospitable. And I knew that you would be. There's a sense in this assembly of a family bond and a love for each other. And this morning there was a young couple here. I want to make sure they're not here tonight. And they're new, and they kind of moved into the area. And we knew they were coming. And I was just wondering what was going to happen. It was like before anything, like Lee and Lois had invited them out for lunch. And it's just like I figured that was going to happen. That's a good thing, you know. It's a good thing when you presume on the hospitality of a local church, that you just know if someone shows up there that they're going to be hospitable to them. And this didn't happen, so can I just play this scenario to you for a moment? Imagine a young couple coming in here, don't know anyone, and you're all kind of nice to them, and you know, hi, how are you, but no one invites them out for lunch. Like, no one. Now in one sense, you would say, well, who would expect that, right, in our culture? Like, who's going to invite? But on the other hand... wouldn't that not be a practical way of showing love to someone that you don't know, especially a couple coming in, or it could be a single person, it doesn't have to be a couple, but someone that's new, to extend that love to them, that invitation to join you for lunch and spend time with you. This is so important, brothers and sisters. I could go on in stories. Being in places where hardly anyone will talk to you. I've had that happen in church experiences. Jack and I went to an assembly. I won't say where it was. I won't even give you a clue where it was. Quite a few years ago, I was just starting out in preaching, and they invited me to speak. It was quite a ways from home, but we went there, and they didn't know me. I didn't know them. And between the meetings and the coffee and tea time, hardly anyone spoke to us. No one spoke to us. And we're standing off by ourselves, kind of in a corner, sitting there looking at ourselves, thinking, what is going on here? Where is the reality of the love of Christ? And you might think it's a small thing, but it's not. It's a big thing that we get. And I get, some of us are busy, and we've got things to do. We got, not everyone, but if we're in there, can I just say this kindly and lovingly? If we're in there socializing with our friends and family and people we know well, and there's strangers over there, should it not just be a given thing as followers of Christ that we would immediately at least introduce ourselves to them and say, hey, I'm so-and-so, and nice to meet you, and nice to have you here? And that didn't happen until Jackie said, well, I'm just going to go and talk to someone. That's my wife, okay? Well, I'm just going to just burst right in there. Like, I would have just crawled into a corner and sat there. That's just my personality. But anyway, so she just goes right in. She gets talking. Oh, well, who are you and why are you here? Well, my husband's speaking today. Oh, well, all of a sudden. So you get the, Is this not, now that didn't happen here. I could see like Justin and Colleen could hardly get anywhere because people were talking to them. That's good. That's the heart of what we're talking about. This is so important. It's so practical. And yet, and hopefully we're not doing it just because, well, the preacher said we should be kind and hospitable. So hopefully we're doing it because we love the Lord and the Lord's heart is to love others. Just as we were just singing that last song, and that therefore we would love others, the strangers, whether they're Christians, whether they're not Christians, like when we have that opportunity to show that kindness, that we would do it. And it's so important to do that. Okay, I got to stop, and we just got to get into this. Hebrews 13 and verse 15, Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And then he says this, do not forget to do good, pardon me, and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased, to do good and to share. Let's go to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4, we read these verses last week. Let's read them again. 1 Peter 4 and verse 8, above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. We're just singing about that great song. And then this verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And what you see there is, okay, you need to love each other, and then you see a practical instruction laid right alongside that, right? So it's not just love as an intellectual thing, as a cerebral thing. Yeah, we love each other. But when it practically comes to where there's a need, we're willing to be there for each other, right? When the rubber hits the road, there's a practical need, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Go to 1 John chapter 3. I mean, John just doesn't pull any punches. John's just really, he's just really direct. He's a disciple of love, but he doesn't hold anything back. First John 3 in verse 14, he says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. So he's just saying, well, you know what love looks like. I mean, Jesus laid down his life for us. That's love. And then he says, and he doesn't say, that's great. Let's get excited about that. Let's sing about that. Let's praise God for that. We do, and we should. But he immediately goes to a practical application. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. So he says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And then by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. And on it goes from there. And we'll just stop and commit our time to the Lord this evening. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for the incredible love that you have shown to us. We were thinking about that this morning, your great love. And it wasn't just the love of words. It wasn't just the love of thoughts or of feelings. It was a love of action. It was a love that came. It was a love that, as we thought this morning, came into the mess of this world and of our lives and the brokenness of it. And you came right into that, and you cared for us. And we see the Lord Jesus literally walking among people, caring for them, ministering to them. And then ultimately, that the greatest testimony to love, the greatest demonstration of love, the giving of his life for us on the cross, and all that entails. The sacrifice, all of it, it speaks of action. It was a doing, and it speaks, Lord, of the real nature of what true love is. And so, Father, as we continue this evening thinking about hospitality, and that is a broad application, Lord, that you would just stir our hearts tonight in this area to be willing to sacrifice, to be willing to give to those that are in need. And maybe it's not just poor materially. It could be that, but Father, just to show love, care, concern, to spend time with people, to build relationships with people, whether they are believers, whether they are not believers, because this is such an important thing. It is a reflection of your heart, as we've been thinking over the last few messages, and Father, it is also a way to reach and to encourage and to build up people. And so I just ask God that you would just guide me in what I say this evening, Lord. I pray that I would say it in love, that I would say it in the enabling of your Holy Spirit tonight, Father, that you would speak to us through your word and these things that we're going to consider. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So let's just, this is kind of in a way a summary, but it isn't, but it's sort of a summary, and I want to just zero in on what I was just talking about, reading these verses here in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, and I love what John says here. He says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. As I was saying earlier, John says, what does love look like? It looks like the Son of God, the Lord of glory, laying down his life, dying for us. It speaks of action, doesn't it? That he did something. God didn't just say from heaven, well, I really care about you guys, you know, have fun. You know, it's, I really love you, but if I come down, it's going to take time, you know, it's going to be messy, it's going to cost me. So, you know, we know that's not the heart of our God, right? The heart of our God was love moved him, just as we were singing in all those songs we were singing this evening. And great, awesome Tim picking those songs. But the heart of God moved because of God, who he is in his nature, and to love us, and it led to an action, and he came. And the ultimate demonstration of that, as I was saying earlier, was the laying down of his life for us. And I mentioned, too, when I was reading this verse, getting way ahead of myself, instead of just reading it, what John does, because out of that, he brings a practical application to the believers as he writes to them. He says, great that God loves us, but now, and that he laid down his life for us, and he showed that action. Now he says, now you need to do the same thing. Lay down our lives. You ought to lay down your lives for the brethren. There's a that word ought to, or that phrase ought to, and I'm not sure, I don't remember the translational differences there. I think there might be differences. But literally that word in the original language, that phrase, there's a word in there that speaks of obligation. That's the meaning of the word. It's a must thing. That's what I'm getting at. When John says we ought to, it's not like he's saying, well, you kind of ought to, like maybe, you know, if you feel like it on a certain day, you can show a little love for your brothers and sisters. No, it's not like that. This is an ought to of an ought to of a must. This is an ought to of an obligation. This is an ought to of saying, like if you say you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you know him and you love him, then you have a responsibility, you have a duty to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. And it really isn't an optional thing for you. And if that's not enough, and that's pretty direct, John just keeps going. He's like, okay, John, I get it. It's heavy. No, it's not heavy enough. Let me spell it out for you. Verse 17. Whoever has this world's goods sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him. How does the love of God abide in him? You see, this is very, very practical Christianity here, what he's talking about. Whatever that need might be, obviously he's probably thinking of poverty, financially, food, clothing, shelter, whatever form that might take. When he talks about needs or when he talks about goods, that's probably where he's going. And what he's saying is, if you had a brother or sister in Christ and they needed those things, and you had those things, and you were able to give it to them, and you didn't, basically what John's saying, I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit, is like, how can you say that you really love God? How can you really say that you love God if you can't even show that practical love to your brother or sister who is in need? It's pretty convicting stuff, isn't it? When I was young and I was just growing in my walk with God, I didn't like 1 John. I read it and it was like, oh, I can't. I read that book and I felt like I wasn't saved and I was such a failure. And how could I? It's a very convicting book because it's very, like, just straight. Like I said, John's just kind of in your face. And I don't picture John as being a guy that was like, you know, fiery, let me just let him have it. I mean, John was the apostle of love. But John is just simply telling it like it is, isn't he? He's basically saying, don't say you love God if you can't even show love to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And he's so practical in it. If they have a need, you minister to that need and you give to that need. So this thought, why should I love my brothers and sisters in Christ? We ought to be motivated by his love for us. And that's enough, right? What ought to motivate us to love the family of God? The love that he had for us. What ought to motivate us to love a world that is lost and people that are lost? His love for us. Or pardon me, his love for them, his love for the world. And as God loved us, therefore we need to love each other. And it starts at home, though. This is so important to see. And I think there's a reason why, like John and a lot of the writers direct that love towards one another, the idea of one another, and we were looking at that last Sunday evening. It's because it really begins at home. It's kind of like this. If we can't love each other in our family, what good are we going to do if we're trying to bring other people into our family, right? If we're fighting and quarreling and we don't care about each other and we're gossiping and backstabbing, and I'm not saying that's happening here, hopefully not, but if someone within our family is in need and we don't even care to do anything about that need, then for someone that is out there that is lost, that doesn't know Christ, what are we bringing them into if there's not a reality of God's love within the family of God, within the church of Jesus Christ, right? And I'm not saying we shouldn't be evangelizing, we shouldn't be sharing the gospel, and we shouldn't be reaching out to people that don't know. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, what are we bringing them to? It's like love begins at home, and we need to love each other. And then as we love God and we love each other, then we can love a world that's lost, and we can bring people in to see something that they're going to say, wow, these people really love each other. Who was the early church father? It slipped my mind here. Some of you will know right away. Who wrote an apology, and in the apology, I think it was in the first century of the early church, one of the testimonies that he had is the Christians were being criticized for all kinds of things. They were being accused of being cannibals. That was because of the bread and wine and the whole thing. And they were spinning all these wrong things about the Christians. And yet some, as they looked in on the Christians, this was what they saw. And the testimony was, see how they love one another. Like, no one could argue with that. Right? And people can attack us for what we believe and that we're extremists or we're haters or whatever because we take these views on the scripture and we actually believe the Bible is God's word and it's authoritative and all that. But they can argue against that, and they can tear us down on whatever angle, but they cannot argue with real love, can they? When love is lived out, no one can argue with that. And that's where good works comes in too, right, in terms of a testimony to the world, that they can argue against what we do, but they can't argue against the good works that we do that line up, not for good works for justifying ourselves before God, but good works that are an extension of what God has done in our life and of the love of God in us, and therefore we love others. But it begins at home, brothers and sisters, loving one another. And John just tells it like it is. Again, God's heart of hospitality. We thought about that this morning. But we see it here being brought out in a practical way by John. God's heart of hospitality, a heart that is willing to share, a heart that is willing to give, to care, to love, to help. That is the kind of heart that God would have you and I to have as followers of Jesus Christ. Now, here we go. There's the list. Okay, remember that list? Last Sunday morning, I said I'd come back to it, so we're coming back to it right now. So we're going to go through why hospitality is neglected. We're going to work our way through this. I'm not going to spend a long time on this, but I just want to work through these reasons why we can't. Can I say excuses why we can't? We're too busy. So don't raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand if you have ever said, well, I'd like to do hospitality, but I'm too busy. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. You're too busy. That's all I can say. Now, you can say, well, you don't get it. I got to do this and I got to do this. You know, for some of us, maybe our life is so jam-packed with responsibility that we just simply have no time to do anything for anyone else. Maybe. I would suspect for most of us, our lives are busy, but probably there is time in there that a lot of time maybe is not being used wisely, or maybe it's being spent on ourselves or whatever it is, and we probably could free some time up in our life to do something good for someone else and maybe to show some sort of hospitality to someone else. And I understand, you go through stages of life. There's stages of life that you're in. You know, we remember what that was like. You know, when our kids were little and they were climbing all over the place, and it was, well, they weren't that bad, but anyway, and it was kind of crazy, and like, do we have someone in or do we not? It would have been easy in that situation to say, well, we're too busy, you know, we've got kids and we can't do it. But we were very intentional about saying, yeah, we've got that, but you know what? We can't let that dictate that we're not going to be able to do any kind of ministry like this. And so I just want to encourage you to, maybe there's something you can change in your life to free up a little bit of time in your busy week to give to someone else in terms of showing some kind of hospitality, spending time with someone. It could be having someone in your home. If you can't do that, you could take someone out. for a meal. You could just take them out for a coffee. You could just spend time with them. You could help them with a job that they have to do. I mean, hospitality can have a really broad application. It is about connecting with people. It is about sharing with people. And I want to challenge you in that, to be very intentional about that. So here's a challenge for you. If you are, as a person, as a couple, as a family, not in the habit of say having someone in your home, or if you can't do that, taking someone out, whatever way you want to do your hospitality, if you're not in the habit of doing that, can I give you this challenge? In the next month, show hospitality to at least once, to one person, couple, family, whatever you want to do. Christian or non-Christian. You can do within this church family here. You can go outside to a neighbor, someone, whatever. But I want to challenge you, if you're not in the habit of doing this, just do it once in the next month. Just once, okay? So for those of you who are in the habit of doing this, or you do it, and can I just encourage you maybe to say, okay, every week, I want to do it at least once a week. I want to do some sort of hospitality with someone, whatever that might take. And for some of you, maybe that's even not enough. But all I want to do is I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't purpose to be hospitable with people, you won't do it, probably. Because you'll just say, we're too busy. We're too busy, busy, busy. You know, we got to sit down. We look at our calendar and what's going on. And we got to go here and we got to go there and we got to go this. Okay, where are we going to have these people in? And we have a plan and we go through it. And we work through that, and so you have to be very purposeful and intentional. As many good things in our Christian walk, we have to be, so we have to be with that. So what about the next one? We can't afford it, or I can't afford it. I've heard that, you know. I've encouraged people to do hospitality. Well, it's expensive to have people in for a meal. Or it's expensive to take them out for a meal. Yeah, it is, in a way. It costs. It does. And yeah, you're going to have to reach into your wallet. You're going to have to take some time. You're going to have to burn a few extra kilowatts of hydro or whatever it is. And are we that cheap, brothers and sisters? Are we really that cheap? I mean, come on. We can't afford to have someone for a meal or take someone for a coffee. Like I'm sorry, that's just utterly ridiculous. We live in a culture, we've got satellite TV, cable TV, we got this, we got that, we go on vacations, we got hobbies, we spend money on. Then maybe there's someone sitting here tonight who literally is that poverty stricken that they couldn't do it. But you know, some of the most wonderful hospitality I've experienced has been at the hands of people that had next to nothing. Next to nothing. And it's humbling when people who have very little show hospitality to you, and you feel almost heartbroken for them. But they're doing it out of love, and it's a sacrifice. We were on a missions trip years ago, quite a few years ago, in Mexico. My daughter was quite young, my oldest daughter, and she came along on the trip. And there was a group of us. It was an MSC trip, and we were doing a work project. And we were up in this mountainous area, and we had gone to this church service up in a mountain. And anyway, so they made a lunch for us, the team, and we were there, and we go into this room, and they had those of you that have been to places like this, you know, you have the bottles of Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola's everywhere. You don't want to drink the water, so we're drinking Coca-Cola. And they had made this soup for us, this chicken soup. And they had the fresh tortilla. Oh, you've never had tortilla like the tortilla in Mexico. And there it is. But they had this chicken soup, and it had, like, all the parts of the chicken in it. You know what I mean? And there was grease all over it. And my daughter turns to me and she says, Dad, I can't eat that. I'm going to be sick to my stomach. I said, Kyla, I said, these people, I said, they have hardly anything. I said, they killed these chickens for us. I said, you got to try to eat it. And she couldn't. She couldn't. And I ate mine and I tried to eat hers without anyone noticing because I just felt my heart. But these people had next to nothing and I thought about the sacrifice of them doing that for us. Can we really say that we can't afford it in our culture? Then what about this one? Someday we plan to do this, that one. Can I just say that someday probably will never come? And as I was saying earlier, we need to be really intentional, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on that one. I want to just go to this next one here. Our home isn't nice enough. I've heard that a lot of times. My home isn't nice enough. Our home isn't nice enough. Is it about the home? Is it about, look at how beautiful our home is and look what we've got? It's not about that, is it, brothers and sisters? It's about people and connecting with people. And there's some, and I get it. Maybe you have a hard time inviting people into your home. I understand that, whatever reason. And if you can't do that, maybe you could go and take them out somewhere or do something like that. But really, at the end of the day, it's not about how awesome our house is. You don't have to have the house that's in the magazine, you know, that looks like this to be able to show hospitality to people. You don't. Jack and I were first married. We didn't have any kids. We were living in the city of Peterborough. And we had a little wee wartime house. And it was our first house. I think we were paying 11.5% interest. That was in the 80s. Some of you remember that, in the interest rates. And like, just like almost every dollar of our mortgage payment was going to interest. But anyway, there we were in this little house, and it was nice. It was solid, but it was old, and it was a little rough. And I was trying to renovate the kitchen, and I had it half tore apart, and there was a wall half torn apart. And we were feeling really convicted that we weren't showing hospitality. We were a young couple in our chapel where we were fellowshipping in Lakefield. And we weren't showing hospitality, and we just felt a burden. We got to be hospitable. We got to invite one of the preachers over. I wasn't preaching much then at all. I said, we got to invite one of the preachers over for a meal. Oh, invite the preacher. Whoa. You know, what's he going to do, and what's he going to think? And so we thought, okay, let's pick a nice preacher. Oh, man, let's pick so a guy that's not scary, right? So we invited Dr. James Naismith to our home. A lot of you remember him, right? Dr. Naismith, gracious, gracious brother, right? And I still remember it. We're in our little wee tiny kitchen, and we got this table, and you had to know how narrow this was. And so here we've got Dr. Naismith. What was he, 6'6 or something like that? And he squeezed in behind this table up again, and he could barely get his legs in, and he's like, and I'm almost being apologetic, pulling the table back. And it's okay, brother. It's okay, brother. You know, with a Scottish accent. And then we're like, Jackie, literally the stove is right there when she wanted to grab the supper, just like, didn't have to get over a chair, to flip down, grab the thing and put it on the table. And it was just so funny. We often think about that. That was our first stab at hospitality with a preacher. He was so gracious. So gracious. So grateful that we just made the effort to show that kindness to it. Your home doesn't have to be, it's not about that, it's about the people. I'm not good at entertaining. Again, it's not about, you know, I can't do that great meal, or I can't do, you don't have to. You know, it's about people, and it's about just connecting with people and spending time with them. And if your home doesn't work, you can go to a restaurant. It's amazing. There's so many ways you can show hospitality, and we just, these things that we put up, honestly, I get it. Sometimes it is intimidating. I understand that. It's like, are we going to measure up? And those people in the chapel, they're really good at hospitality. They're really good at entertaining, but I'm not good at it. It's just that you would make the effort to show kindness to someone in your home. You see, that's what it's all about. That's where love is lived out. And we got to be careful not to be comparing ourselves to others. It's not like there's only a few people in the chapel that can do entertainment, and the rest of us, we just don't do it. No. Wouldn't it be wonderful, and I don't know, it's just a dream, if in a local church, every couple, family, single person was willing to show hospitality in whatever way they could to anyone who walked into this place, and to each other. I think the early church was a lot like that, you know. It mentions that they broke bread and acts from house to house. I don't know exactly what that means, but I get a sense there that they kind of moved from home to home as they would gather together, and there was just this sharing of everything that they had with each other. Literally, we read in Acts 4, right, that they sold their stuff and they brought the money together. That, you talk about radical Christianity. You know, when I read that, I think I don't see a New Testament church anywhere. Anywhere. Because I haven't seen a church where people do that. Sell everything they have and put it. You talk about hospitality to the nth degree in caring for each other's needs. Right? How about this one? It isn't my gift. Well, good news. It's not a spiritual gift. Praise God, right? So you can't use that as an excuse. Giving is a gift, and giving kind of relates to hospitality. And sometimes I think it gets interpreted as that. But hospitality really isn't a gift. And let's go with this for a minute. Let's suppose it was a spiritual gift. That doesn't mean you can't do it, right? Well, I'm not an evangelist, so I can't share the gospel. Well, evangelists are gifted to do it. That's great. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be sharing the gospel with people. We can't use that as an excuse. It's uncomfortable. I don't enjoy it. Sometimes, and especially with people that you don't know, and I think often we've invited people in that are not believers, and we're trying to build bridges with them, those can be awkward meals and awkward conversations. But when you're doing it out of an attitude of care and love, and we just want to get to know you because we care about you, that breaks a lot of barriers down, a lot of walls down. And you know what? Forgive me, this is harsh. You know what's behind this? Selfishness. It's uncomfortable for me. Well, guess what? Life is not all about you. I don't enjoy it. Well, guess what? Serving that doesn't always necessarily mean it's you're going to enjoy it. And can I just say this on a positive note? That rarely have we ever shown hospitality to anyone where we thought, oh, that was horrible, that was terrible. Most times it's like, that was wonderful. And there is a blessing when you extend kindness to people and you care and you share, and whether you have them in your home or whether you take them out to a restaurant or whether you go and help them with something, I rarely ever have come away. I don't know if I've ever come away from something like that thinking that was a waste of time. I wish I would. There's a blessing that comes in it. We don't do it for that reason, but we've got to get past ourselves and our selfishness if we're going to be hospitable with others. I can't be bothered. That goes to the same thing about selfishness. Now, I'm going to end with this one. No one ever invites us to their home. There was a guy, I won't say who, he wouldn't know who it was anyway, but I won't say, back at our chapel at Lamab, and he had said that one time in a conversation with a sister in our assembly who's very hospitable. She's also very outspoken. And he said that to her, and she said, well, maybe if you invited someone to your home, someone might invite you to their home. It's just like, anyway. But here's the thing. Regardless of whether anyone invites you or does whatever, what is to be our motivation? Well, people aren't doing it for me, so I'm not going to do it for them. No, our motivation, again, what does it all go back to? Because he laid down his life, we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters in Christ. The motivation is for God first. And it's because of God and it's because of Christ that we ought to extend whatever form of hospitality we can share to others, regardless, listen to what I'm going to say, regardless of whether it ever comes back to you or not. We moved into a new community, and we were just very much like the Lord's blessed us with his home. He's put us in this place where we don't hardly know anyone. Just moved us, and we thought, the only way we're going to get to know people is to open our home and be hospitable. And we've been very intentional right from the fall, right through, to get to know our neighbors, to connect with our neighbors, to invite them in, believers in the area, the whole thing. And one time we were sitting there, this is going to sound awful, but we're sitting there and we're thinking, gee, we've had people in how many times in the last 4 months, and how many times have we been invited out? Once. Compared to, I won't tell you how many times we've had people in. Now, right there, we could have said, and there was a time, and I did at one time say, well, I'm not, that's it, I'm not doing hospitality anymore. What is that? That's self again, isn't it? Rather than that, we say, whatever, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if anyone invites us into their home. We don't care. There's neighbors next door to us, and we had them in, and I know she's not a believer. We're not sure. Exactly where he's at, but we know that she is. That we had them in our home once. We had a great visit with them, and so we invited them again. I think I told you the story about the one that thought we were religious and didn't want to come to our house. It was them. So we invited them again. They're going to come this week, and she was talking to the lady that we bought the house from. We keep in touch with them, and she said, oh, she feels really bad because she can't reciprocate. And we're like, oh, man, we got to let them know it's okay if you can't reciprocate. We're totally fine. It's not about we're inviting you, so you should invite us. And we're not in that game. We just want to show love. We just want to get to know you. And we have, brothers and sisters, that's the mindset we have. Regardless of anyone, everyone, no one ever invites you out. It's okay. If you're doing it for the Lord, it's okay. And it doesn't matter. And you just leave that with him, and God is faithful to reward us as we serve him in these ways. Now, let me just touch on some of the practical areas of ministry that you can be involved in with hospitality. And a lot of you are doing this, and you know it, and you've done this, and you've seen it, or But let me just go through this quickly again, or just go through it. Anyway, it's instruction of newer young believers. What a great way to do it. I mean, there's something, and it's great to do things in our local church buildings, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's something about bringing someone into the home, into your home, that just, I don't know, what is it? It's just a comfort level, right? We do a lot of premarital counseling. We've done a lot of premarital counseling over the years, and we want them to come to our home. We want the couple to come to our home, sit in our living room, have a meal with us, and then we engage in conversation with them. There's something about that environment that just puts people at ease, and so what a great opportunity to bring some kind of teaching, instruction, counsel, whatever it might be. Next thing, counseling, exhorting, encouraging. Again, nothing like a home setting, or if you can't do that, going to a nice quiet restaurant somewhere and just being somewhere where you can sit quietly in a different environment. and what a great way to do that kind of thing, to be on a level with them, caring for hurting people. Man, I don't know what Barry's like, but there's all kinds of hurting people around where I come from. Everywhere I go, there's hurting people. And when you first see people, it seems like everything's okay and they're fine and they're whatever. And boy, when you get to know people, there's some pain, some struggle, something with most people, something underneath. Maybe not all of us, but some people are hurting a lot. What a wonderful thing to invite that person, if we can, into our home, into our little private world, if you will, right? To kind of bring them in into a safe place and just to show kindness to them. Well, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a counselor. It's okay. All you need to do is show love to them. Can I just touch on something for a moment? A lot of conversations I have with single people often feel left out, whether they're young or they're old. And I get it. Couples, we like to hang together, right? And because we're couples and it's easy and it's like, and sometimes those single people get kind of left out to the side or left out somewhere. So can I just encourage you, if you want to find an area of ministry that, I don't know if it's neglected here or not, but you think about a single person, single mom, single dad, or someone's not married or whatever, it doesn't matter, but you bring them in and you show kindness to them and through some kind of hospitality, there's a huge ministry there. And it just goes on and on when it comes to caring for hurting people. Connecting with unbelievers. By the way, I'm not saying every single person is hurting. That's not what I'm saying. But there's an opportunity there for ministry. Connecting with unbelievers. I've talked about this a lot. You know, we work with people. We interact with them in business. There's a dynamic that goes on in a workplace environment or whatever, or a school environment or whatever, wherever we're at with that person, and it's kind of on a level. But when you bring someone like that into your home, it changes the dynamic. They see that you're not an alien, like, you know, you're not really weird. You're actually a normal person. Like, you actually can tell jokes and you can laugh and you can, and what an amazing way to break down those barriers and walls that people that aren't believers think the craziest things about us as Christians, right? The stereotypes. And there's nothing like breaking the stereotypes than being a normal person with them. And part of that could be just to bring them into your world. Maybe they won't come. There's people we've invited to come into our home and they will not come. You can't do anything about that. You invite your neighbor and they say, no, no, no. I'm going to say, don't give up the first time. But you may hit a wall, but if you're trying, that's all that matters. But what an incredible thing to be able to build those bridges and relationships in your home. Amazing what that can lead to with someone that's not a believer in Christ. Sharing our faith through example, through conversation, through study. Your home can literally be a place for all of those things, your safe place, your apartment, wherever it is, your condo, it doesn't matter, that can be used for the Lord. What is this all about? This is all about, when I think about this, I put down there building up the body of Christ, whether that means through reaching out to people that are not lost, hopefully bringing them into the body of Christ, whether it is that with the body of Christ, encouraging and strengthening the believers and ministering to them, it's all about that though, isn't it? This whole thing. Brothers and sisters, the sky is the limit with hospitality. It's like the opportunities are endless. I just want to encourage you to try to put some of this, and I know some of you are doing it, keep doing it, and those of you that aren't, try to put this thing into practice in your life. I'm going to end with this. What is it all about? I've kept saying this over and over and over. when we think of the believers in Christ, and it's great to interact with each other in this way too, about getting to know each other, that we become like a family. I sense that here in this local church, that you have that kind of a bond with each other. I'm sure that that did not happen in 20 minutes of coffee and tea in the room in there Sunday morning. That's where I got to know all these brothers and sisters here. If that's the case, it's pretty shallow, isn't it? Where do we really get to know each other? We really get to know each other when we get into each other's homes. We get connected in each other's lives. We serve together. We work together. We spend time together. And we just walk through the normal things of life together. And I know, and that can't be 24/7. I understand that. I get that. But we have those moments where we come in and we share our lives with one another. That's what's going to build the bond of family. A family of believers in Christ. And when that happens, we can do what we're challenged to do by Paul, the Holy Spirit, in Galatians 6:2, to bear one another's burdens. Because if we don't even know each other's burdens, how in the world can we bear each other's burdens? If we're not spending time with each other, it's just Sunday morning, hey, how are you? I'm good, I'm fine, yeah, everything's cool, yeah, great, okay, see you later, see you next week. Let's face it, we all do that sometimes, right? Isn't it really a fake sort of fellowship, right, when that's all it is? But when we spend time with each other and we get to know each other and we connect in each other's lives, we really get to know each other and we get to know that there are burdens that we're carrying, struggling with. And then we have the opportunity, when we know that and we know the person, to care for them, to support them, to pray for them. And we maybe can't fix the problem, but we can simply be there as someone that cares for them. And I just love this principle. It's so, so much what God is like, isn't it? And it's so much, I think, what God wants us to do. In fact, it's so much like that, that what does Paul say? What does the Spirit of God say? And so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, in other words, you want to walk out the reality of your Christian life, and the law of Christ, I think he's referring to there, is love one another. Remember, Jesus said that to his disciples in the other room, in the upper room with his disciples, that they were to love one another and that the world was going to know that they were his followers because they loved one another. I think that's what's being referred to there as the love of Christ. And so it begins with getting to know each other. And that can happen through hospitality. And then we understand and we know the burdens, and then we care and we get involved and we bear one another's burdens and we fulfill the law of Christ. We are walking out that love that we were talking about and singing about earlier, helping in a time of need. Just ending with this thought, what we started with in 1 John 3:18. Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You see, Christianity is to be real. It's to be lived out. It's not just a theory. It's not just a theological idea, this thing of relationship with God. It is a real thing that is in our mind, and it is thought, and it is knowledge, but it is something then that is to be lived out and walked out in our life, just like God didn't say from heaven, as I said earlier, hey, you guys down there, I know you're having a hard time, but I send my love to you, you know. I send you those loving thoughts. No, he didn't. He came right into that, didn't he, to meet our needs. And may God help us to walk that out in our lives. I'm not doing it perfectly, believe me. You're not doing it perfectly, I know. I just have to know. Just love you, but I know, okay? Like, and so we need his grace and more to be surrendered to him and yielded to him. And we can't do everything, brothers and sisters. It can get overwhelming when you start thinking like this, like the needs. So you just have to say each day, Lord, here I am. And I surrender my life to you. I give my life to you. I die to myself today. I die to myself today. My life is yours. You bring to me, you bring into my life the people, the things that you want me to be involved in. And we need to make the effort too. We need to be connecting and reach. But God will open the doors and we'll have those opportunities if we're seeking it to love people, not just with words, but to love them in deed and truth and live out this reality of hospitality to one another and to those around us that need a Savior. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we are just so thankful that your heart is a heart of hospitality. You are a God who shares, who cares, who gives, who comes alongside of us, who desires a relationship with us. You are a God, as we were thinking this morning, who came right into the brokenness of our world, the sinfulness of our world, and you took that all on yourself. We saw and we thought of the Savior who went to the cross and took the weight of our sin and the consequence of it, the shame of it, all of it, Lord. He took it all on himself, and he died for us, and he paid for it all. Was buried and rose from the dead and lives. And Father, here we are in this world now as followers of Jesus Christ, and one of the things that we are to do is to live out the reality of Christ so that others will know that we are followers of the Lord Jesus. We were singing about that earlier. They will know we are Christians by our love. And so, Father, we thank you that we can love each other with our minds and our thoughts and our words, but, Lord, we understand this needs to go beyond that. It needs to be a love of action. That when we see a brother or sister that's in need and we have the ability to help them, that we're willing to help them. We're willing to sacrifice, whether it's money, whether it's resources, whether it's time, whether it's compassion, whatever it is that they need, that we would be willing to do that. And so, God, just build this local church, Father, more and more, that it would be edified, built up in that real practical love, motivated by your love for us. And so I just pray that you would encourage the believers here, encourage the family of God here, and that perhaps through this ministry of hospitality, Lord, more and more, the caring going back and forth, that this family would grow to be a family that loves each other so much that when people come in, it's so evident, it's so obvious, the care that's there. And then, Father, beyond that, that we would reach out to a world that is hurting and lonely, and there's people struggling with purpose in life, and what is it? And for people to see love lived out and then see love shown to them, and so we have an opportunity again through hospitality to reach out to a world that might think we're crazy for inviting them into their home. Because who does that anymore? But Father, that we would be people that have your heart, and that if we show that love to people, that you would break the walls down, the barriers, that your Holy Spirit would work through that, that people would come to know Jesus Christ, that the practical love we show would be the springboard, as it were, to them coming to know the Savior and believing in him. So we commit all of this to you, Lord, and I commit these believers to you, and I commit the word to you, and I just pray that you would work in all of our hearts and lives for your glory and for your honor. Just help us to walk this out, we pray, for your name's sake, in Jesus' name, amen.